So this morning, I met our speaker online just after she had shared a story about her son being bullied. And I was experiencing similar things with my daughter, and she was a friend of my brother's, and it showed up on my news feed. You know how that works. And when I read that poem, I thought of Jen immediately, because that's exactly the way she responded. She got involved with the program No Such Thing as a Bully, and she works tirelessly to create safe places for everyone. She went back to school and this year graduated with her degree in social work, and I am just so excited for all the people that get to have her as a social worker. She's here with us this morning to share some of her and her son's story with us. And I just want to say that we've been friends on Facebook for over 10 years, but today is the first day that I got to meet her and hug her. So welcome, Jenna.
Good morning. My name is Jenna, and yes, that reading was definitely it struck a few nerves, and I got goosebumps. So I guess just to start, I'll give you a little bit of history and background about myself. My mother was in the 60s scoop, so she is a Métis woman, and I'm a very white-appearing Métis person. Cycles and patterns repeat themselves, and I grew up in and aged out of the foster care system, and I learned very young what my white privilege did for me. And I was always for the underdog, and I used my privilege in a system where I was predominantly surrounded by First Nations children, and I used my whiteness to advocate for my fellow foster children who were somehow less than. In 2011, I moved from Saskatoon to Kenosi Lake. My son has started attending school in a small town close to Kenosi. And we were the outsiders. So I was kind of for myself there and not so much other people. I was for my kid. I saw things happening. My son would come home and share the things that were happening with the other students in his classes. Some of them were First Nations. Most of them were targeted, which put a target on my son's back because he was standing up for people against the in people, I guess. I don't know how else to word that. My son was struggling with the change of moving, of a new school, of new peers, teachers, a new home, and he had a hard time. And the kids kind of on the playground with Breck being an upstander, and then the teachers with him struggling, it started with his grade 2 teacher making a comment to his class about how my son wasn't a good reader. And good readers read like she reads. And so with that statement that was made to the class about my son, it became very evident to the students in my son's class that the teachers weren't going to be there for him either. So I tried really hard to work with the school for my son. My son would come home and tell me the other ways that other students were being targeted. I know my son wasn't the only one. So I tried really hard to work with the school. My son would come home with bruises around his neck. He would be choked on the playground. One child was sitting on him and choking him. The teachers on supervision didn't happen to see it. Nothing was ever, like, no one ever saw anything. So there wasn't much that they would acknowledge or that they would do in response to the actions. It ended up where my son started defending himself, and he would get suspended from school, and I would bring him home and we'd have movie days because I was at a loss and I can't punish my son for standing up for himself and for standing up for other people, but they weren't looking at the actions that led to the reaction. They just dealt with the reaction. So, Eventually, my son stopped sharing with me what was going on at school for him, because I would go to the school, which in turn made it worse for him. So he just stopped talking to me about things. How are things going, my boy? Oh, they're good, Mom. They're good. Okay. And I never pursued it because things are finally getting better. And then in grade five, my son hung himself in his closet. And had I been 20 seconds later, and I'll never forget the look on his face, it is permanently ingrained in my mind, my story today would be different. So I'm grateful that I was there when I was there, but my story would end differently. I went public when my son hung himself because I had reached dead ends and brick walls with the school. And so I took a very aggressive stance, and I moved forward in a very aggressive manner because it needed to be dealt with, and it wasn't being dealt with before, and I knew that there were other children that were experiencing similar situations, not just in my son's class or school, but like clear across the province, clear across the country, and across the world. I learned a lot about myself and about society. If we look at our history as Canadians, we like a certain type of people. We treated First Nations and Indigenous people wrong. We've treated Chinese people and Asian people wrong with the head tax. We turned Anne Frank's boat away in World War II because they weren't what we wanted in our country here. Ukrainian people, wrong kind of white. So I learned a lot. I really started coming from a space of curiosity and why and what is the root and where does this come from. So I went public and I started speaking and I started raising questions and I started rocking boats and shaking the trees. And I went to the other parents of the children that were in the same situation as my son. And I thought, if I'm standing at the front line, I can take all of the hits and the kicks and the punches and the words. I can take it. I can handle it. I'm a big person. And I was appalled at the responses that I got. Some of these were RCMP members. These are prominent, powerful people in our community. They were prominent business owners. They were, you know, people that weren't from the area, so essentially outsiders as well. But they had a position in the community to do something, and they were scared. As adults in a powerful position in a community to do something, they were scared. We still have to live here. My kids still have to grow up here. I still have to work here. So silence won. And I began this like silence is violence kind of mentality. Like if we're scared into silence, nothing changes and the harm continues because silence is violence. So I had a lady reach out to me. I had a lot of people reach out to me, but I had one lady reach out to me with a system, and it was called No Such Thing as a Bully. And I thought, that's bogus, because clearly there are bullies. And how can you tell me there's no such thing as a bully? So we got to communicating and talking, and she was like, it's a label. Bully is a label. Victim is a label. Homeless is a label. ADHD is a label. We live in a society where there are labels for everything. Homeless people are lazy. ADHD are uncontrollable, right? Like, and so we slap this label on people, and then they're stuck in that for the rest of their lives. They never get to move out of it. They're just stuck in this label. So if we remove the label, and there is no such thing as a bully, and maybe there is no such thing as a victim. Maybe we become self-aware. Maybe we become survivors. Like maybe we become upstanders and we can make changes. So I really embraced that. So if you remove the label, you can change a mindset. You can open doors. You can create space for discussion. Being in a place of curiosity is so important. And I was just chatting with my friend in the booth there earlier, how you can, you know, if you can remain in this space of curiosity. As a parent, I wanted to tell my son how he could fix this. I wanted to tell my son how he could make it better. But I wasn't hearing as much as I was doing and saying and moving forward and trying to fix for him. But I wasn't giving him the tools that he needed to fix for himself. So the no such thing as a bully really puts you in a place of curiosity. What are you in control of? What do we control in our lives? Do we control other people or do we control ourselves? We control ourselves, we control our words, we control our actions, we control the socks that we wear. But we are so busy trying to control around us, but not within us. So it really taught me a different set of skills for, you know, my life and how I deal with my kids, how I deal with, you know, the tools I provide for my children. It creates a space for different perspectives. Like, I know what I'm thinking and feeling, but I don't know what you're thinking and feeling. I don't know what kind of, I didn't know your friend broke her leg and that you might not be in a good space, right? So that impacts how you appear to other people, right? When we're not in good spaces, sometimes we come across as angry or short or bitey. When we're in really good spaces, we're super happy. But do we share that with other people? And so I came to kindness, which I just really love that reading, Janet. Kindness, you get more of what you focus on. Being human plus being kind equals being humankind. So you get more of what you focus on if you can be kind and, you know, say to that person, that stranger on the street, wow, I really like your shoes, or man, I really like your socks, or wow, your hair is so beautiful, right? Just to be outward with it, very overtly kind, it kind of counteracts and does the opposite. Kindness is the opposite of bullying. So I encourage you all to go out every day and be kind in whatever way that looks for you, but to be kind for other people. And then looking more at the system of no such thing as a bully, there's a root of everything. There's a root cause, a root emotion, a root of everything. And bullies need to be in control. Why? Where are they lacking the control in their lives? So is it an anxiety thing? Is it something going on at home for them? Is it something going on at school? Like, where are they lacking control? Curiosity. That it's coming out in other ways. Other, like, taking it out on people, being rude, being physical, being verbal. And then, why are victims victims? Are we not, like, taught how to feel, what to do? And, like, again, if we take that label off, everyone has bully actions, everyone has victim responses. Depending on where we are in our day, in our life, we are all capable of good, we are all capable of bad, and we are all capable of ugly. It's our choice and it's our control, what we do have control over. I use the skills that I learned with No Such Thing as a Bully, because it's not something that, bullying doesn't just impact our children. When I went public with my son's issues, down in Carlisle, I had parents emailing me, wanting to meet up and wanting to talk to me and saying all kinds of amazing things. They were not amazing. It showed me this is a learned behavior. Like, what the child is learning is something that he's picked up at home. Now the parents are, as an adult, bullying me as an adult, trying to intimidate me into silence. So bullying isn't just something that impacts our kids. It impacts us as adults. It impacts us in our workplaces. It impacts us in our communities. And it impacts us in our society as a whole. I really encourage you to remain in a space of curiosity. If someone's doing something to you, ask yourself, what's going on? If you're brave enough, ask them, are you okay? Like, is there something you need help with today? Do you need a hug? not a lot of people are huggers, you know what I mean? But like, what can I do for you? How can I help you? Remain in that space of curiosity. And yeah, the skills that you can use, will be really beneficial. Use humor. That's my favorite coping mechanism and my favorite skill. Because if you can laugh at yourself before someone else can say or do something about something you've done, there's no room for them to make fun of you or put you down or whatever. But explore yourself. Become self-aware. Remain in a space of curiosity. What's going on for someone else? How can I make their day better? And yeah, be kind, because that's what being humankind is all about. Thank you for today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Jenna.